Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, loves. Happy Friday. It's Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 11 minutes after 3 o'clock. Great to be with you. Always great to have the end of the week. And a beautiful Friday it is in Western New York. So many things to get into today. So glad that the situation traffic-wise has resolved. At the same time, don't you feel horrible for those truckers? I absolutely do. Being a truck driver, here I go again. Here he goes again. Being a truck driver, to me, has got to be one of the most complicated jobs and one of the most difficult jobs out there. Do you have the patience to be a truck driver? I don't have the patience to be a truck driver. I'm sorry. And as far as driving is concerned, how many of you have driven from Buffalo to Wyoming? Buffalo to North Carolina, Buffalo to Florida, Buffalo to Texas. Okay, it's all good and fine to have a road trip. And in many ways, road trips are great. But I have found that the maximum that I can do on a driving day, and I know this does not apply to truckers, it would be, let's say 10 hours, I would think would be the maximum, unless I've made some provisions. Okay, so yeah, that's about it. But if you've ever driven, have you ever gotten to that point? This is always the conundrum. You are like 200 miles from your destination, and you know that after a 2,000-mile drive, the last 200 miles seems like you're almost there, but the last 200 miles, so slow. And it's almost like you know you really should take a break, get a room. That would be the prudent thing to do, but the other angel on your shoulder is saying, why would you break now? Why would you get a room now? You're only 200 miles from your destination. And it just drags on and on and on. Kind of like this intro is dragging on and on and on. Sorry about that. So anyway, so many things to get into. Here's one, and I didn't have to go too far for this one, the WBEN.com website. Would you like to hear the article? I shall read it to you because I enjoy doing that, so we're all on the same page. Ahem. WBEN, Dateline, Buffalo, New York. A big change is coming for the Buffalo News. The Buffalo News says, starting the week of November 3rd, it will produce a printed paper 6 days a week, from Tuesday through Sunday. The e-edition will be online daily. Some readers who rely on the printed newspaper will not like this change. Trying to think if anybody's liked any changes they've been making since about 1990. But we live in a world that has come to embrace digital communication, and this change reflects that reality. That's what the editor of the Buffalo News had to say. We're disappointed Lee Enterprises is giving our loyal print subscribers who've stuck with us despite all the Lee-erected barriers to good customer service. Let me interrupt here. Okay, your employer is struggling. Obviously, the paper is not doing well financially, so it's really first-rate thinking by anybody to say the employer is dropping the ball. Seriously, you got to have a unified front. So basically, they're saying that the employer isn't very good. Well, if your employer isn't very good, maybe the paper isn't very good. Like, if you want a better review, do a better performance. Yeah, I know. I get that all the time. So anyway, we're disappointed Lee Enterprises is giving our loyal print subscribers who've stuck with us despite all the Lee-erected barriers to good customer service only 1 month of notice for such a big change in their routines. That's from the Buffalo Newspaper Guild in a statement today. It seems to be the latest mad dash from Lee Enterprises to cut costs as fast as it can because its own executives once again botched the company's financial projections and budgeting. So let's see, your employer ain't doing too well, the newspaper ain't doing well, so do the obvious thing, make sure you bash the employer publicly. good thinking. Who doesn't applaud that way of thinking? My goodness. Hey, if the radio station wasn't doing well, I certainly would come on the air and say, hey, my employer sucks. They're doing everything wrong. Because that really is a good PR move. I'm being very sarcastic, by the way, just so you know. The Buffalo Newspaper Guild adds, Lee Enterprises has given its markets a poorly functioning cookie-cutter website and mobile app that only frustrates readers and erodes the consumer experience online. Well, allow me to interject. Okay, if you work for a living, or if you ever have worked for a living, let me ask you something. Do you realize that there are some things that you know because you work somewhere that are not exactly hunky-dory? But if you start talking about that publicly, I hate this expression, but it is valid here. It's not really a good look to bash the place that gives you your paycheck that you earn, to bash them publicly. In my opinion, maybe I'm old school. I guess I am in many ways. Not always, but many ways. In my opinion, if you've got something you want to say that is basically revolving around your employer not doing things very well, maybe you don't do your dirty laundry in public. Maybe that's something you keep in-house. There have been times in my career, of course, never here at News Radio 930 WBEN. We've been perfect ever since I got here. But there have been times in my career where other radio stations, which other ones, Tom? Other radio stations have done things that I thought were not real smart. And I did make my opinions known privately. But I didn't come on the air and say, let me tell you what these bozos are doing. I think this is ridiculous. It's absurd. Because I just think it's bad form. Is that like totally old school and stupid? Or is that just the way you ought to be? Because, again, when somebody's signing your paychecks, you publicly don't go and say, hey, they're morons. They have no idea what they're doing. Because the obvious retort is, obviously, they don't know what they're doing, Tom. They hired you. I got nothing. The Buffalo News began printing in 1880. It was actually the Buffalo Evening News. And you can tell somebody is 75 or older when they refer to the newspaper, not as the Buffalo News, but the Buffalo Evening News. That's a dead giveaway. Now, basically, let's talk about first-rate thinking. What season are we in now? Think about this for just a moment. What season are we in? Okay, fall. Okay, very good. We know our seasons. Outstanding. But what other season that is more important than weather is taking place right now that, by the way, is a big deal to most people in Western New York and Southern Ontario, too? Ah, that would be what? Oh, it's football season. Okay. So, let's see. Let's just say you ordinarily don't buy the Buffalo News, but because you're a Buffalo Bills fanatic, you actually break the fast on Mondays because you can't get enough of devouring information about the Buffalo Bills. You want to see the headline. You want to see the pictures. You want to see the analysis, and you want it in your hand because you can't take, well, it's kind of messy, to take a laptop or anything else into the porta potty at the construction site. You always drop your phone into the latrine. All right, that's like a rule of life, just saying. And it's very inconvenient. Newspapers are extremely convenient in many respects. And frankly, if you drop it into the latrine, not really a big deal. Hold the jokes. I wasn't going there till I started talking. Then I realized where you thought I was going to go. You have a horrible mind, I might add. 20 minutes after 3. So let me just get this straight. There will be no print edition of the Buffalo News on Mondays, a day when many people who might not ordinarily purchase the print edition of the news might actually want to buy the print edition of the Buffalo News because they want Bill's information. Let's stop publishing on Monday. To me, I don't know, isn't that kind of like saying, you know what, Election Day is coming up. We will not be publishing the day after Election Day. So let me get this straight. When people most would be tempted to sample your product, you're going to shut them out when they go to the gas station, when they go to the drugstore, the few that are left, when you go to the drugstore, the restaurant, wherever it is you happen to go, that where you actually might buy a paper if you don't already, you're going to have no reason to buy a paper on Mondays after a Bills victory or loss because they're not printing. Now, look, Here's the thing. All right, let's be very brutally honest about this. All right, I got to be careful to position myself properly so you understand from where I'm coming on this and what my biases happen to be. First of all, let me say, as a rule, and there are exceptions to this, the local newspaper has not been very nice to me. They really haven't. They haven't been very nice to me. All right, they haven't been really nice to me, okay? I don't worry about that, all right? They've not been very nice to my employer, because we're the enemy. For example, let me give you a for example about the station. After the blizzard of 22, the Christmas blizzard, wouldn't you expect that maybe they would put a piece in the newspaper about the noble, valiant, awesome work of the team at News Radio 930 WBEN, which was on the air live, absolutely live, during the entire duration of that storm, 24/7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, into Monday. We were live and local, saving lives and helping people deal with the power outages and the snowstorm and all the information they needed to have. We, frankly, were awesome during the blizzard of 2022. Was there any reference to that whatsoever in the newspaper? Yeah, there wasn't. Yet, I remember after the situation at the Rainbow Bridge in Niagara Falls, David Bellavia and I, we did some analysis about what might be happening based on the available data, and we got in trouble from the paper for coming to what at the time we came to the conclusion was a very logical conclusion, a very logical progression of thinking. We didn't shut down the border. We didn't have the power to do what the New York State officials did. We simply reported on what they had done and drew inferences from the moves made by public officials. Well, if they're doing this, it may mean this is more likely than that. But we got accused of all kinds of things. And I'm sorry, David is a Medal of Honor recipient, and he really understands the defense situation. He understands the war on terror. And maybe I'm a slouch. Okay, I was riding David's coattails, let's just be frank. He was carrying my weight, which at the time was pretty enormous. But we got in trouble for that. And it was really something stupid. We did not deserve to get in trouble for that at all by the newspaper. Our employer had no issue with it whatsoever. They signed the checks. Thank you. But anyway, they're not very nice to us. That would be that's the takeaway from that little 3 minutes of radio. They're not nice to us. Okay, whatever. I just wanted to give you an example of kind of a double standard there. We do something amazing. We don't even get a reference. We do something that somebody thought was out of line, which really in the final analysis wasn't out of line, and we explained it all on the air at the time, and they use that as an opportunity to go after David and myself. There certainly have been other pieces in the paper which have been very erratic and interesting, but anyway, that is not why I feel the way I do. As far as the Buffalo News, and I want to get your take on this, and periodically we visit this, but today we find out that in November, the Buffalo News is not going to offer a printed Monday edition. Again, not good thinking when the Bills are the hottest thing in Western New York. They usually play on Sundays, and I think a lot of people would sample their product if they had the product on Mondays after a game. You think I'm wrong? Because I really don't. But look, I have been wrong before. A couple of times, maybe over 40 plus years, but I don't think I'm wrong about this one. But I want to get your take on the paper. And is the Buffalo News even relevant in your life anymore? Because I'll tell you a little secret. I'm going to get into some specifics here coming up, but I'm going to tell you a little secret here. A lot of people who started out in broadcasting, including the voice you may be listening to right now, I got to tell you, there was a time we were petrified of being skewered by the Buffalo News, of having the Buffalo News say how horrible we were, how incompetent, how much we absolutely sucked at what we did. And I'm pretty sure that some of the bad newspaper reviews by certain columnists may have actually forced people out of the career because it destroyed their reputation. And that's tough. When you're 25 years old and you read that you are horrible and you suck, and that can really interfere with your career. Okay. You got to have a thick skin. But At this point, so at one point, the Buffalo News was very influential, very relevant, maybe in your business as well. Probably in your business, right? I don't think I'm smoking crack or anything. It isn't anymore. Okay, it really isn't. It's almost like in this business, we kind of laugh if we get skewered by the paper, because at this point, it's like, yeah, so what? Yeah, okay. When somebody important skewers me, I'll pay attention. I want to take some calls on the Buffalo News. I've got some questions for you, so don't freak out. If you're on hold, stay there. If you're not, be there. 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I think it's a smart idea for the Buffalo News during football season to not have a print edition available on Mondays. Seriously? I'm sorry. That qualifies as a really bad decision. Horrible decision. Good grief. Like, why don't you just go out of business and spare us all the ordeal? It's almost like I'm hearing the death rattle of the newspaper. But I want to emphasize, I'm not happy about it. I hate it when people lose their jobs, even if they don't like me. Seriously, I don't take pleasure from people's misfortunes. There's no Schadenfreude whatsoever. I don't like it. Okay, they hate me. Big deal. People are going to be out of work. I don't like that. We're going to continue on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can never go wrong with Jimi Hendrix. 3:37 at News Radio 930 WBEN. That is Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time. And want to get into the situation with the Buffalo News. I want to get to some calls before I start to blabber. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. So anyway, my buddy John Rubino has just sent me a text. Was nice enough to wait until the break. Thank you, John. Just saw a kid on his back westbound lane on the 90 between Route 33 exits. He had a motorcycle helmet on. Okay. I know we have a lot of state police T-Troop people listening to the show at all times. You might want to look into that if you haven't done so already. And if you're driving around there, if you want to give me some more information, I'd appreciate that. And John, if you want to call in, I mean, that's a little bit weird. I hope he's okay. Just saw a kid on his back, westbound lane on the 90 between the Route 33 exits. My goodness, I don't know what's going on, but please use caution. And I certainly hope that we get to the bottom of this. Trevor's looking into it. And if you're there and want to update, I would like to know that the kid's okay, personally, because now I'm worried. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Is it some kind of a weird practical joke or something they're going to put on TikTok? I have no idea. I hope that's what it is. I just hope somebody isn't hurt. Let's go to Fred in Lancaster on the Buffalo News situation. They're not going to be publishing on Mondays, the print edition. Folly, I say. Harumph, harumph. Fred of Lancaster, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Yeah, the snooze, as our late mayor used to call it, has done a lot over the last 45 years to put itself out of business. It's been biased. It's been, I mean, all you got to do is say Rod Watson, George Borelli. I mean, there's a few of those, Alan Pergman. There's a few of them names that, you know, ring out in their biasness. So, I mean, I'm unlike you. I'm getting a little pleasure out of watching them squirm and go out of business. I have an alternative, though.
Well, time out. Fred, if it's okay, I would like to interrupt you at this point to just say that I need to be consistent. And the truth is, even though they haven't been really nice to my employer or myself, generally speaking, I think they've been kind of unfair. I don't want to see anybody go out of business. I think the Buffalo News can be saved. I'll get into that coming up. But I take no joy out of this. It's a sad day. If they go out of business, I will be very depressed they go out of business, honestly. But I think, frankly, they got to look in the mirror for why that decision may, in the future, be made. And I do agree with you, Fred. they have done a lot to put themselves out of business at some point. We're just, for example, today's announcement about we're not doing a print edition on Mondays. That would be Exhibit A of recent vintage because, I'm sorry, Fred, after the Bills play on a Sunday, don't you think people who don't usually read your product might be more likely to try it?
Absolutely. And how about I buy the paper. I was buying it on Sunday, and I was looking for high school sports scores, and they barely put them in there. So I'm like, what is their usefulness? Yes, a lot of people in Cleveland are gonna suffer when the news goes out of business. I won't be one of them. I subscribe to the New York Post, and I get delivery every day. It's cheaper, it's more informative, and it is less biased.
Well, I do read articles from the New York Post. There is a bias with the New York Post, but it's okay because it's our bias, Fred. It's our bias. But I do actually think, Fred, that the New York Post actually on balance does have more balance to it than the Buffalo News. And Fred, I don't think I'm mistaken when I say, well, I'm going to get into my detailed analysis and you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong on this, Fred, and other people, but the decisions that they've made, I think, in two very big areas have been accelerating the decline of the Buffalo News. Fred, the cartoonist that they always go to bat for, no matter what he thinks is funny, it's a cartoon. Like, for example, the Texas flood. I don't understand that. When you print stuff that is offensive to so many people, why would you think that's not going to impact your bottom line? Color me confused.
I agree with you. I know of which the cartoonist you're speaking of. That's just another reason that keeps me away from the news. You know, as long as he's employed there, they have to do a whole makeover even to have a chance. And I hope they don't. I want to see them just like in New York. I want to see Mondabi win. In Buffalo, I want to see the Buffalo News lose because of their total bias. How many times I've written in editorials that never made it there that I believed should have been put in there, and they're very selective on their news, and they deserve to be out of business because they're an editorial paper. They're not and it's only one way, so they don't deserve to be in.
Naturally, of course, people might say the same thing about this radio station, and I understand that, but again, I don't get any marching orders saying, here are the opinions you will have. They know that if they did that, I would early retirement. So let me just explain a couple of things in my analysis. I don't want to bounce them off of you, Fred. I think there are two major reasons why the Buffalo News is in the predicament it is in. They don't have the big, beautiful building anymore. They're working actually in their mother's basements, I think. That might actually be not too far from the truth. Number one.
They should stay there.
Stop, Fred, stop. Now you're just being silly. But yes, I have a heart, I know. But Fred, let me just bounce a couple of things off you. I think one of the biggest reasons why the Buffalo News is in the predicament it is in, you actually how do I say this? Boy, it's supposed to be a real simple analysis, but now it's getting complicated. Okay, number one, the advent of the internet. You cannot say that the Buffalo News, to the exclusion of every other printed medium in America, is having issues. All print publications are having issues. Do we agree on that, Fred, that the internet has accelerated the decline of the local paper, yes or no?
Yes. That is social media.
Now, Fred, here is something that I think needs to be added to that. The Buffalo News easily could have gotten ahead of the internet curve to slow the decline of the newspaper had the Buffalo News more quickly embraced the technology. And when I say quickly embraced the technology of the internet, what needed to be done at the Buffalo News, they should have partnered with, WBEN or some radio station that is a good news source with its own assets, which would have provided them with another outlet, another platform, and they would have, this. They should have gone a lot more video a lot sooner. They should have turned their personalities into online influencers, if you want to call them that, or online reporters. Bottom line, they should have embraced the technology. They didn't. We here at WBEN, honestly, we embraced the internet very quickly, actually. And Tim Wenger is actually to thank for that, because he knew what was going on before a lot of people did. The second thing that I think has been a huge factor in the decline of the Buffalo News is what you've already talked about, and obviously what I believe, the bias of the Buffalo News. At some point back in the 1990s, a conscious decision was made that we really don't care about people who are on the right or conservative or Republicans. We're just going to be the official organ of the Democrat Party. And that, even though Erie County is mostly Democrat on the enrollment sheets, basically what you've done is you've told half of your potential market to basically get bent.
Yeah, but there's more people that read on the Republican side. So
okay, I'm going to laugh at that. That was all right. Good shot. Okay. I'm not going to lie. That was good.
They have time. The difference is you offer people the ability to call in and rebut anything. The Buffalo News controls all of that and will never give that up. So they deserve to sink because they do not want to accept any constructive criticism.
Well, you know what? I don't think that is a bad argument, because typically when the newspaper is pointed out for biases in particular stories by particular people, or cartoons by a particular cartoonist whose name I will not say because he would like the notoriety, I will deny him of his notoriety. Basically, they double down. They are not receptive at all to the idea that, hey, people are genuinely upset about something and maybe you need to address this, but I can't remember a time where they didn't double down. Because they've projected the atmosphere, the attitude, Fred. They've projected the attitude at the Buffalo News that anybody who is not on the left doesn't matter.
Exactly. And if they had done it, but they had done it equally, they would have kudos for fairness. So they do it in a biased way, and I'm not going to miss them. Like I said, I'll read the Post every day and go on my merry way.
Is it always a merry way, sir? I mean, do we need to talk about this at all? I'm having fun, Fred. Don't mind me. I'm being silly because I know you've got a great sense of humor. But Fred, yeah. Look, the only thing upon which we differ is you are kind of celebrating what looks like the eventual demise of the Buffalo News. I cannot celebrate that. I just can't. I really can't.
All I look at is they've done more damage than good. So it's just... probably better for the area. Maybe we'll get a new paper in.
No.
That'll be, I don't know, just report the news.
Well, Fred, you said something when I went into my little monologue there about, hey, the internet is, I was talking about the internet, and you said, oh, yeah, social media. And so many people get their news from social media. I saw something yesterday, like 10 to 15% of American adults get their news from TikTok. No, sorry. And with all the AI stuff being generated now, I'm sorry, you gotta really shop around and go to a bunch of sources to figure out what in the Sam Hill's really going on in the world.
I agree, Fred, and it's only going to get worse.
Fred, it has been my great pleasure to discuss this with you. Just a parting question for you: when do you think the Buffalo News will actually cease to be as an entity?
Within 10 years.
I don't disagree with you. I might put it at about 7 years, where there's no digital, there's no print. It's just something that used to be. Thank you very much, Fred. A pleasure.
Thank you.
803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Look, I just want to emphasize, I don't take pleasure out of the pain and the struggles the Buffalo News is experiencing. Please don't think I do. I really don't. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that makes me a little bit different than a lot of people who might be on the left who seem to celebrate when, I don't know, somebody like Tucker Carlson loses their job. I'm not going to celebrate that. That's just wrong. I'm sorry. I do have some standards, at least in some parts of my life. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm trying to do this as professionally as I can without any malice whatsoever, because there really isn't any malice. I'm not one to carry grudges at all. I'm just saying that the Buffalo News is going to stop its print edition on Mondays beginning in early November. I'm thinking to myself, why would you do that during football season? Really? You want people to sample your product, and that's like a good lead-in. That builds the cume, as we say in this business. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. What's the Buffalo News doing wrong? And like, when did it start? And is it even influential anymore? Does it even matter? Because I honestly don't think it really matters. Like Time Magazine, Person of the Year. So what? News magazines are so outdated, aren't they? Here's Mike, Orchard Park, WBEN. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Tom. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I am calling about a circulation problem that they seem to have.
Oh.
I am the caregiver for a dear friend of mine who is in a nursing home in Hamburg. One of the highlights of his day is to get the Buffalo News.
Hmm.
I have attempted since May to have the paper delivered to him. I've paid for it. May, June, July, August, September, $35 a month. And in that entire time, I believe he has received approximately 20 copies of the news. Every day I talk to him, he doesn't get a paper.
Mm.
I call the phone number. Well, you can't call on Saturday and Sunday because they're closed.
Yeah, yeah.
But Monday through Friday, I've called 53 times
Oy.
Since May to tell them that his newspaper was not delivered. They advised me that they will give me credit. I said, no, I don't want credit. I want the paper delivered.
Oh, take the credit for what they didn't deliver for which he's paid. Take that credit.
And, well, that's the interesting part. I haven't received a credit. 53 times they told me they would credit us and give us an extra, you know, an extra day for every day that I called.
Touche. Mike, I do have some words I'd like to share and exchange with you. I got to wait until after the news. Are you going to be able to hang on? Because it is so frustrating. I don't know how many people have had this experience of trying to cancel a subscription with the Buffalo News is murder on your time. And trying to resolve a situation like you're describing, I think you got to forget about telephone calls. That's a little hint as to what I might say after the news at 4. It's Bauer. Hold on, Mike. Hold on. I got to put you on hold. On News Radio 930, WBEN.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 9 minutes after 4 o'clock. It's News Radio 930 WBEN. And if you're just joining us, find out today the Buffalo News is not going to have a print edition on Mondays starting in November. I'm sorry, football season? When do they usually play? Huh. What would be a great day to get people to buy your product during football season? I'm thinking Mondays. Will there be a print edition of the Buffalo News at the gas station, the drugstore, the grocery store, wherever? No, that's a bad decision. It really is. But I'm kind of curious where you are on the Buffalo News. We've done this show before, but does the Buffalo News even matter anymore? And when you analyze what happened to that once all-powerful juggernaut, tell me what your analysis happens to be. And again, it's not like it's the only print publication that is going through issues because of the internet. No, not at all. But there are things they could have done to arrest the decay, absolutely. And yeah, some of them are macro, some of them are micro. Back to Mike from Orchard Park. And Mike, you're basically having an issue with the delivery of the newspaper, the Buffalo News, to your friend. You're taking care of your friend. And basically, you've met with a whole bunch of promises that were not fulfilled by the paper in terms of credits on the papers you didn't get. You don't care about the credits. You just want to start receiving the paper. But your constant, would you say 53 calls?
Well, I've called 53 times. He's called them about a dozen times. His daughter's called at least a dozen times. And we get the same response every time. They tell us, okay, we understand the paper will be delivered the next day, and of course it isn't. And I have paid $35 a month for the last 4 months, and I believe he's received about a dozen newspapers in that time. I sent a letter to the woman who is listed as the circulation distribution director. Her name and address is in the newspaper, in that little thing where they tell all the people. It's the Buffalo News, One News Plaza, Buffalo, New York. And it came back with a yellow sticker from the post office, return to sender, not deliverable as address, unable to forward, which it's addressed to the address that they put in the newspaper. And I basically sent her a letter and I said, look, I'm having a problem. My buddy's not getting the paper. We've paid for it for 4 months. And his daughter, he and I have called every day, except Saturday and Sunday, to tell him. We're told every single day the same thing. It will be delivered the next day, and it's not. And so I said, I would like a refund. Well, I don't have a refund. I don't have a paper. And I'm not exactly sure what to do. Unfortunately, I gave them my credit card to charge. And they don't seem to have a problem charging my credit card.
Well, but Mike, there actually might be an out here for you. You actually, look, I don't know the legality of this, but you might contact your credit card company and say, look, I do not authorize any charges for the paper, and I'm going to contest the ones you've already levied to my account because they have not delivered the paper for which I've been charged. Therefore, I will contest these charges. You might consider that. Because what I was going to suggest, Mike, is obviously the telephone calls didn't work for you, and I'm really shocked that the letter you sent, because I was going to suggest sending a letter, a registered letter was going to be my suggestion. But if you don't have a valid address, to whom does one send the letter?
Good question, because I sent it to the address that's listed in the paper.
I know. It's a little bit absurd, but it's not atypical, Mike. You talk about business decisions, okay? And I happen to believe that not publishing a print edition of the Buffalo News on Mondays during football season is totally boneheaded. Your thoughts on that? Agree? Disagree?
I agree. Now, the question I have in relation to that, I'm paying $35 a month for his newspaper that I'm not getting. Are they going to now lower the price of the newspaper if they're only delivering 6 days a week instead of seven?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get the memo on that. I'm sorry. But I cannot give you a solid answer on that. But I think the bigger question is, what mailing address do you actually use to get a letter to the Buffalo News?
Well, apparently not the one that they list in the newspaper.
Good Lord. I mean, that to me, that's just absolutely preposterous. But I mean, you might talk to your credit card company about charges for stuff that was never delivered to you and contest those charges. You also might tell them you do not authorize any additional charges by the Buffalo News. And as a last resort, you might just change your credit card number.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hadn't thought about contacting the credit card company. That's a good thought. I just want to get my buddy the news. I mean, he's stuck in a nursing home 24/7, and the newspaper is the highlight of his day when he gets it.
You know what? The other alternative I was going to suggest is that buy him a radio and let him have WBEN as the highlight of his day.
You can switch the $1,000 television set. He sits there watching it all day. I will get him a radio too, though, and he can listen to you then.
You can switch the addiction. Obviously, he's craving some kind of information, even if it's left-wing propaganda. Craving it, so he might as well get right-wing propaganda from us.
All right, Tom. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the suggestion on the credit card.
Yeah, I feel bad for your buddy because, you know what? The older somebody is, the more difficult it is to wean oneself off of the Buffalo News. My mother, I will tell you, I've mentioned this before, it was like giving up heroin, but she did it, and I was very proud of her at the end of her life. Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So your Buffalo News, man, what's going on with your view of the Buffalo News? Because at one point, it was absolutely a juggernaut. It was very influential, and it cut a lot of ice in Buffalo. Now, maybe it's me and my own biases, which I admit that I have, But it's kind of like it's become almost an irrelevancy. It just doesn't have the kind of cutting power it used to. And then when I read statements from the newspaper guild and the editor, basically bad-mouthing the people who sign the paychecks in public, like, dude, lady, that just isn't cool. You got a problem. You keep it. You keep the dirty laundry behind closed doors. You don't air it publicly. I don't like the expression. It's not a good look. Just putting it out there. 803-0930, star 930. Does the Buffalo News matter to you? 1-800-616-WBEN. And I'll say this again, lest anybody think I'm celebrating something like an idiot. I'm not. I don't celebrate anybody potentially losing a job or the closing of a Buffalo institution. I think it would be wrong for me to celebrate that. So I don't even do that off the air. I will not celebrate. Here's Mike in Amherst on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. It's good to talk to you.
My pleasure. What can I do for you, sir?
I just wanted to just about the last caller that was still had the Buffalo News taking out of his account. I had a similar problem with a streaming service, and I called my credit card, and they told me legally by law they could stop any merchant for 5 years from accessing your account. And I thought that might be helpful to pass along to him.
Wait, say that one more time. You kind of cut out in my headphones.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of in a bad area. Legally, my credit card told me that they can stop any merchant for 5 years from accessing your account if you dispute a charge with them. You probably won't get your money back, what you already paid, but they won't be able to access your account any further.
I don't know what the law is. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not sure if the policy, I don't know if that's a law or whether that is an individual policy of the issuer of the credit card. But look, clearly the Buffalo News, if everything the caller said is correct, is not honoring its end of the bargain, despite his documentable attempts to rectify the failure to deliver the paper, which would be the newspaper's part of the bargain in this. And I really think he needs to stop the bleeding, stop any additional charges, because he's not
Absolutely.
Getting that for which he's paying. Then he can go after the Buffalo News for a refund check for what he didn't receive or his friend didn't receive. And he's got the copies, presumably, of his phone bills, because he's called the paper, he said, 53 times. His friend he's taken care of has called like a dozen times, and the documentation is there. So it should be pretty easy to get the refund. Oh, I'm sorry. It might not be, because he tried sending a letter, but it came back.
Well, imagine that with the U.S. Mail.
Oh, no, I can imagine that with the Buffalo News. I like the U.S. Mail. Don't go there. I love our letter carriers. Now, stop it.
True
you
enough.
Just stop it right there, sir.
Ponytail Pete.
Ponytail Pete, he's the man. But I how do you analyze?
I grew up on Columbia, sir. So
outstanding.
I'm familiar with the village.
A very fine street, I might add.
But
easily walkable to the village.
I was up on the middle block, but fine street.
Well, I was on the poor part of town. So, Mike, as you analyze what has become of the Buffalo News, how do you analyze it? Because it used to be a behemoth. A powerhouse. Now it's like a shadow of its former self. It's like looking at Al Capone with tertiary syphilis.
I believe it's just become antiquated. And I'm in my mid 40s, and my parents are in their mid to late 70s, and they have been hanging on to the Buffalo News for dear life. And we finally got them to switch over to online, and now I think they're finally starting to see the light that it's a newsletter and a pamphlet, and it's not even printed in Buffalo. My father tries to explain to my mom, you know, she's innocent when it comes to that. So I think, like you said, it was a behemoth at one point, and it served its purpose. I don't want to see anyone go out of business, but it's kind of forced itself that way.
Wow. Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate hearing from you, and appreciate the information. I don't know if it's going to be relevant to our other caller, but I do hope he calls the credit card company he's using and takes care of this and then gets his refund for what wasn't delivered. He ought not to have paid for something he didn't receive. Thank you. Mike in Amherst.
I hope so, too.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. The Buffalo News is not going to have a print edition on Mondays. Seriously? Sorry, but when you have the only game in town newspaper-wise, you could have been a better steward of that privilege, don't you think? I think they really dropped the ball. I was going to say something about a pooch, but that might have been ambiguous. It is Bowerly, and this story, we find out today that the Buffalo News will not have a print edition on Mondays beginning in early November. And my first thought was, wait a minute. If you're hemorrhaging readers, why during football season and the Buffalo Bills being the single biggest thing in town and in the region, and people want as much information as they can possibly have, and they'd like to have it in their hands, you know, why would you not publish the paper on Mondays during Bills season? I'm sorry, that's kind of a boneheaded business decision in Western New York. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, but to me, that kind of falls in the category of being a no-brainer. I don't care what day you don't have a print edition, it's got to be out on Monday during football season. Anybody want to disagree with that? Come on. The other thing that I mentioned before that I'll mention again, you know, the way I look at the situation with the Buffalo News, again, it used to be a powerhouse. It used to have so much influence. But I believe, and again, this is my personal opinion, and I do have my biases, just like you have yours. My personal opinion is that the fundamental decline of the Buffalo News began at the same time as they did a couple of things. Number one, it's like they made a conscious decision that Republicans and people on the right are troglodytes and evil and bad, and that they didn't matter. And they also, frankly, were kind of condescending to people on the right or people who would complain about the slant of stories or the offensive cartoons from time to time. So they didn't really take that seriously. They just kept doubling down. So if somebody would complain about, my goodness, the Buffalo News has become nothing but a propaganda piece for the Democrat Party. Well, they didn't tone it down. It's almost like they doubled down and made it even more of a Democrat Party mouthpiece. So what they did in practice, I believe, my opinion, they shut the door in the face of anybody who is not a left winger. And they have, at first it was Democrat, now it's left winger. They have increasingly gone to the left. They've increasingly not had any sympathy or fairness or balance when it comes to the right. And that is not really a good way to do things in the newspaper business, because here's the thing. Talk radio, we're supposed to be opinionated. We're not objective, okay? People say, you're not objective at all. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm not objective. I'm a talk show host, not a journalist. Now, look, I can be a journalist when we have breaking news, and frankly, I do it better than most people could ever dream of doing it, honestly. That's my strength, breaking news. You know it, I know it, it's all good. I've been doing it long enough, I should be good at it, okay? I do a lot of things really half-assed. That I do very well. But anyway, we are opinionated. When you are in journalism, journalists are supposed to be biased. They're supposed to tell you who, what, why, where, when, maybe how. They're supposed to tell you that. But the words that are used and the slant or spin of a story should be objective. And too often, they haven't been objective. And then the increasing reliance of outside of Buffalo sources from other papers based in, like, oh, I don't know, Washington, New York. I don't think that helped the cause, frankly. I truly don't. There are so many other issues here I do want to get into, but I have to ask you, look, we've done this before, but today, what else am I going to do? If the paper's not going to have a print edition on Mondays, what, you think I'm going to ignore this low-hanging fruit? I think not. It's Friday. And in the great American tradition, I believe in mailing it in on Fridays as much as possible. 803, hey, honesty, baby. All right, I'm kind of kidding, but not entirely. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Does the Buffalo News even matter anymore? Do you think it's even going to be around?
Never
go wrong with Fleetwood Mac. Just like Jimi Hendrix in the first hour, I'm kind of feeling music today. Tanner, that might be a little heads up for you to prepare for the ordeal of the final hour of the week. Prepare yourself. 4:36 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, that is Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time. Welcome to the show. So great to be with you on a Friday. Beautiful day. And hey, don't you love the late night football? Oh, my goodness. I've talked about this before, but I'll say this again. Football should be played on Sundays at 1 p.m. or 4 p.m. This 8 o'clock nonsense, I'm sorry. It's my bedtime. Get off my lawn. I'm cold. That's my new thing. I'm cold. But anyway, yeah, that's the story. So I'm just putting it out there. So talking right now about the Buffalo News, getting back on track. The Buffalo News today told us what, you know, there's been rumors about this, but they're not going to have a Monday print edition published in Cleveland. They're not going to have a Monday print edition. And I don't mean to belabor a point, but do you please tell me you understand why, from a business perspective, leave my warped and corrupted biases at the door. From a business perspective, people in Western New York on a Monday morning during football season, what do you think they most want to read about with their morning coffee? Yeah, probably the Buffalo Bills. I'm just saying, why in the world of any day of the week, why in the world would they not publish Monday print editions? That makes zero sense. It's like bad decision, bad choice. Because, look, I don't know anything about the newspaper business. No, that's a good, yeah, that really establishes credibility. Hi, I know nothing of what I'm speaking, but okay, in generalities, I think I get media and how it operates and everything, but I understand that if you have a media franchise, you want to make sure you have as large a market as possible. See, in radio, we kind of call that, well, it doesn't matter what we call it in radio. You want people to sample your product and then to stay with the product because they enjoy what they have sampled. For example, let's just say our sister station carries the Buffalo Bills games because it carries the Buffalo Bills games. And maybe people have tuned into the games, but then they became regular listeners because they heard the promos and they like the product. Otherwise, they might never have heard of the product, but they sampled it and they liked it and they stayed there. Same thing with the Buffalo News. All it takes is one person at a time to build an audience and to build a readership. And if I were the Buffalo News, instead of not having a print edition on Monday, what I would do, I would be basically 90% Buffalo Bills print edition Mondays. Absolutely. So that every schnook who goes to the gas station, who goes and gets coffee and a donut, who has to stop at the drugstore on Monday morning or Monday during the day, it doesn't really matter. Everybody who is out and about sees this giant tribute to James Cook or Josh Allen. And it's so magnetizing, they cannot resist. They must buy the paper. And because you, as the management, you have decided, hey, on Mondays, we're going to throw everything out there that has anything to do with the Buffalo Bills into our newspaper. You could own, I'm just saying, you could own that segment of the market, at least in terms of that kind of media. Now, would that be enough to help the Buffalo News, giving its sagging fortunes? Well, I don't think it would hurt. Is it going to bring somebody back from the near death? Must tell you, I don't know, because there's also this internet thing about which to be concerned. Oh, yes, the internet, the bane of a lot of conventional media. But see, we embraced the internet kind of early. The Buffalo News did not, and they could have done so much. They didn't. Here's Paul on a cell phone on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I am absolutely magnificent, but I'm also a little bit sad at what I perceive as a local institution on its death throes, giving off the death rattle. I don't like that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Buffalo Nose currently and the Monday hard copy does not have any Buffalo Bills covers other than maybe a photo on the front page.
Go ahead, go ahead.
The hard copy coverage is on Tuesday's edition, correct?
But you know what? That doesn't even matter, Paul, because I appreciate what you're saying, and you're not wrong. But that again is another example. It's part of the puzzle here about bad decisions. My point
but you're saying why are they not publishing a paper on Monday when the Bills play on Sunday? They never had coverage on a Monday before, other than, as I said, a picture on the front cover.
Well, so they used to years ago, and if I did not communicate properly, I apologize. That's on me. But Paul,
I worked there back in 88 to 92, and on a Monday during the Bills during the football season, on the Monday they'd have about 10,000 increase in the paper of people going to the stands and buying them.
Absolutely.
Paul, the
salient point, and you can talk all you want, the salient point that I'm trying to make is when you have something that is hot, such as the Buffalo Bills, and you are a newspaper, instead of not having a digital edition on Mondays, you need to allocate resources to basically jam the Monday paper with everything about the Bills.
You'll be able to get all the information online on their app.
Okay, but you know what? There are a lot of people, Paul, let me just respond, please. There are a lot of people, even in 2025, who need the paper in their hands. Is that market shrinking? Yeah, it is shrinking, but there are a lot of people who like that hard copy. And basically also, Paul, a lot of people who might not even go to the Buffalo News website would see the paper inviting you to buy the paper with the big picture of Josh Allen, and they're blowing the opportunity. Now, go ahead, please respond.
I understand what you're saying. If the paper was still printed in Buffalo and they could have updated coverage, then you would have a valid point. But being in Cleveland and they don't, I mean, everything's 48 hours old, you know, in that paper. So you would have a valid point if it was printed locally. But the way it's being printed in Cleveland, it's not going to matter on the Bills coverage. And I don't think people are going to run out and buy the Buffalo News just because they had a picture on the front page of Josh Allen. I mean, somebody might, but for the most part, people are not going to do that. They're going to get the hard copy coverage on Tuesday, or if they have a subscription, they're going to get it online.
I believe in striking while the iron is hot, which is what old people say. You take advantage of an opportunity with the greatest speed possible. And the Cleveland thing, you're right, that does add, I mean, this is multifactorial. It does add another wrinkle to the entire situation. But, Paul, if you were running the newspaper, you said you worked there, I believe you, why would you lie? You said you worked
88 there. 88 to 92.
All right, four-year career. That's very noteworthy. Thank you.
I spent 35 years in the media business. I spent four years there.
Wait, Paul, you're still sane? I mean, I'm very impressed. You're still a sane guy after that long in media?
I'm retired now. I'm happily retired now.
Okay, I don't know what kind of do you want to tell us what kind of media you were in?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, absolutely. I was in print media for 8-9 years, and then I was at Channel 2 for 25 years. I was in ad sales.
Oh, okay.
I retired at the beginning of COVID. I loved what I did, but I don't miss it one bit.
Yeah, you know, I understand. There's a time you got to say adios and be done with it. But yeah. As somebody who then has that kind of media experience, all right, do you can you tell us, as far as the Cleveland printing of the newspaper, isn't there a way, even printing it in Cleveland, which is only a 3.5-hour drive, it's not like it's a big deal, isn't there a way they could expedite the printing of the Buffalo paper and get it on the store shelves in Buffalo by, let's say, 6 o'clock Monday morning?
I would think there is, but all, like anything else, probably all comes down to the almighty dollar.
But, yeah, I would certainly think if they really, really wanted to, they would do it. But it's a shrinking business. I mean, media in general, you know, every media, be it TV, radio, newspaper, everybody's hurting for viewers, listeners, readers, et cetera. It's not the old dog that it used to be. But well, I would certainly think there was a way they could get it, you know, an updated version out there. But it probably comes from a cost standpoint, I'm guessing.
Well, I don't know, but then again, I'm sure you used this line when you were selling advertising. You got to spend money to make money. And this,
oh,
to
absolutely.
Me, anyway,
absolutely.
I think it is a penny wise and pound foolish decision for the reasons that I've previously stated. And I think whatever logistical concerns there might be, I do think that the return on investment of doing what I'm suggesting they should have done would have actually been worth it. Again, in the big view, the macro view, and the micro view.
Yeah, I agree. If they could get an updated version out on time on Monday and they chose not to, then yes, then they're penny wise, pound foolish. But under these circumstances, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand what the logic probably is.
Okay, well, riddle me this. And by the way, that sounded like it was snarky, and I wasn't trying to be snarky with you because...
That's all right.
I didn't want that to come off the wrong way, and if it did, I apologize. But riddle me this. Why do you think, and you said you were there from 1988 to 1992, did you ever hear anything in the wind at the paper about, well, you know what, we are making a conscious decision to completely blow our objective credibility and paint the Democrats as gods and the Republicans as Satans?
No, I wasn't in the editorial department. I was in the advertising department. But I can tell you, back then, that thing was a cash cow. That was a printing machine back then.
$1 million a week profit.
Yes, exactly.
There was a point; it was making $1 million a week. And I've been saying this a lot, but I really want to emphasize it because I don't want anybody taking this show out of context. All right, there are people who. How do I put this delicately? Oh, I don't like Jimmy Kimmel, who celebrated Tucker Carlson being fired from Fox News. He thought it was great. Yeah, it was great when a guy got fired until it was Jimmy Kimmel. Then it became this big freedom of speech. Whoa, it became that issue, a little hypocrisy there. But I'm really consistent about this. I don't applaud people losing their media jobs and many other jobs for that matter. I really don't want to see the Buffalo News go out of business, but I do think it is heading in that direction. Some of it, I think, is their own fault because of decisions they've made. Other factors do include things beyond their control, but not beyond their ability to take advantage of. And I'm talking about the internet. And there are so many things I actually suggested back in the day they could do to keep up with the times and stay relevant. And despite my incredibly awesome advice, they didn't take it. They should have listened to me. They'd be a lot better off. It's 4:49 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So we're talking about this because no more print edition of the Buffalo News on Mondays. And again, if I were in charge, I would devote so many resources to the Buffalo Bills. I'd make sure I had full Monday coverage of the Buffalo Bills, beckoning people to buy the print edition of the paper. You lure them in, maybe they stick around. You never know. Buffalo News, does it have a future? And I don't know that it does. And frankly, I think it might be too far critically injured to ever recover. It might actually be in a persistent vegetative state with very little hope of recovery. So, Paul, we were talking about, obviously, the media, changing media landscape. And I didn't communicate very clearly before. And thank you for calling that to my attention. Just, again, to be clear, whatever they've done, I think they need to do. They got to be all Bills on Monday and have a print edition. But we're talking about the history of the beginning of the decline. Given the experience you've had in media and at the paper itself, can you pinpoint when you said, well, hey, $1 million a week profit for Warren Buffett is great now, but that seems to be tapering off?
What I did, when I was making all my numbers, I asked for a pay raise. They gave me a $10 a week pay raise. That's when I said to myself, maybe this place isn't so great after all. But, you know, all joking aside, I think I'm absolutely shocked that they haven't cut back to 3 days a week with the hard copy. I think that's eventually what they're going to go to. And then after that, they'll go to strictly 100% digital. And if they're still bleeding money, then and they'll probably just cease publications completely.
Well, as you well know, if they were to go 100% digital, that raises serious concerns about the revenue.
Well, absolutely, yeah, because I get mine. I'm old-fashioned. I like to look at the paper, even though I get it digitally. I don't get the hard copy. I dropped it because the delivery was horrible. But I get it for $1 a month, so I figure, you know, I can afford to pay $1 a month to get the paper. But there's not a lot in there. I can look through it in less than 5 minutes. But then, therein lies the big question. If they go 100% digital, how much revenue is it going to bring in to offset their costs of employees and production, et cetera? Not production, but employee costs.
Yeah, I think if they did go 100% digital, I don't think it would last very long because obviously you need revenue to make something work. And but then again, you also have to look at the expenses of the print edition because, as you well know, newsprint is very expensive, not to mention the costs of the transportation and the truckers who carry the paper. There are a lot of logistical costs involved.
Right. So here's a funny thing. So as I said, I get the digital copy for $1 a month. They send me ads all the time to get the digital copy ad free for $10 a month. Why would I do that? I can just scroll right past the pages with the ads. They're kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, I think they've done a lot of shooting themselves in the foot, and a lot of these things the newspaper has done, I think, have been avoidable. They've been unforced errors. I really believe that.
Could be. I mean, like I said, I left them in '92, so like any other business, looking back, they may have done things a little differently.
Well, you probably worked with my friend Mark in sales at the Buffalo News. I'm not going to give you his last name.
Mark, who I believe I don't want to say his last name. Great guy. If it's
he is a great guy.
Talking about
his wife's name is Tammy. If that helps, his wife is Tammy.
Great people. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a number of years, so I don't know his wife's name.
Probably have a mutual friend. Thank you so much, Paul. Thanks for calling back, brother. Now I don't feel so horribly abused. Thank you.
Have a good
great
day.
Show. Great. You know, I got to say, I've said this before, but the calls to this program, I'd say over the past month and a half, even my boss has said it. They've been really awesome. They really have been. So thank you, because you guys I like to talk to you guys. It's much better with you than it is, let me give you a monologue. No. Calls make the show. We're the original social media, if you prefer. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm going to continue talking about the Buffalo News and, like, where did it go wrong? How the mighty have fallen. That thing used to bring in $1 million profit every single week. You ever see Murray Light's tomb at the Forest Lawn? You ever see that? Jeez. I mean, why not just build a pyramid? It's very impressive, I might say. It's 4:57. News coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. More calls, and I hope to have some fun later on. Not that I'm not having fun with this, but I mean real fun for all ages.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Buffalo News has told us today, and the rumors have been flying, but there will be, officially now, there will be no Monday print edition of the Buffalo News beginning in November. Now, I think you know where I stand on that. I don't think it's a good idea. And what I would do is I would throw every resource possible into Bills coverage, and I would have it in on Monday, and I would make it the best-looking paper you ever produced each and every Monday, because I think you're going to get people sampling the newspaper that might not usually have read the newspaper if you establish your brand and identity on Mondays as your source for Bill's information. I don't know. That's what I'd do, but maybe it's too late. Here's John in Buffalo. John, talking about what's going on with the news and the future of the news and how it ever got like this. John?
Hey, Tom, I'm a former... Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me? Go ahead. Yes, I can. Yes.
Yes. I am a former 38-year employee of the Buffalo News, and I got to start where you left off the last segment, which brought me to a chuckle, mentioning the $1 million a week profit and Murray Light, who coined the phrase, we don't negotiate based on profitability through the years. And then certainly when those started to dive a little bit, then they referred to it quite a bit. So I kind of chuckled when you brought that up. But that echoed through the building for years.
And it sounds kind of like an inside Buffalo News thing. Can you explain that a little bit to those of us who didn't have the experience in person?
Yeah, so basically, you know, when we were $1 million a week company and the unions would gather, or when we would go through our negotiations, they would definitely, and he'd take an adamant stand about, we don't negotiate based on how much we're making. It's based on just what we feel is fair, living wage, whatever. And so moving forward, though, even with him still being there and then his replacements moving forward, you would hear things like, we're not making money. So, you know, you couldn't say back to them, I thought you don't negotiate based on profitability.
Oh, that's John, as
the
you...
the point I was making.
Well, John, and I want to pick up on that point. As you well know, I think that's kind of a universal among managers everywhere. When the money is pouring into the coffers, just as you have told us, well, we don't negotiate based on our profitability. We negotiate based on what we believe is a fair compensation, given the position and the marketplace. And, of course, we must also keep in mind fuel costs. They always throw in fuel costs out for some reason. So that there's that. And then, of course, when things, it's either feast or famine. When things are famine, well, you know what you hear. Basically, anytime you're in a situation like that, I think it's every business everywhere. Managers must have gone to the same school as far as how to keep costs and compensation down, no matter what the economic situation.
Absolutely. And to bring it back to what the main subject was, and I really didn't catch the conversation until Paul was on, but if you're talking about, I agree with that would be a huge attraction with as crazy as the Bills fandomonium is. anything with a picture, an article, like anybody's going to grab it. Anybody's going to want a piece of it. But if you're talking timelines, from my understanding of being experienced in deadlines and lead times, we did all we could right here in Buffalo to delay press time to get all these latest scores and highlights and news about our favorite teams. So I know that when they were talking about moving to Cleveland, I actually negotiated our severance contract. We were all curious as to how you even going to get current news. And I know their deadlines were moved up to, like, I want to guess around 7 p.m. for Cleveland. So if you look in particular, you mentioned the Bills at their schedule as being a hot team. How many games is that actually going to be able to get to print then?
Because yeah, I got you know
Monday
what,
night games Sunday.
But there's not just this year. Right. There's also years after this year if the paper's around that long.
Sure. Sure. That's a good point. But I think you're on the right track with saying that could have been something they could have really played off of. But as the paper dwindled here and the discussions, the real grave part about all this is obviously the fact that they moved it out of the city where it supported so many people that lived here. And, you know, I'd like to see people not support it just for that reason. But to your point, yes, they could probably be more successful if they took common sense approaches like you're bringing up, as well as, like, we even talked about format changes, make it more like a tabloid, maybe a kid will pick it up then. And they really missed the boat on local news, too, because if you want a kid to put down his cell phone, you're going to put his name in the paper and write about how he did in his game in high school or, you know, somewhere in the local area. But there's
a lot of bad decisions. Okay, John, that is absolutely brilliant. You're the second person to bring up the high school sport thing, but you've actually fleshed it out for us because when you're a teenager, you want recognition, you want respect, and seeing your name in the paper because of something awesome you did as an athlete, what a great way to lure in a younger demographic. And once you lure them in, maybe they'll stick around for a while. Every
Absolutely.
Time I see my name in the paper, it's always really bad.
Would hope not. But, yeah, that's a lot of, they trended away from that. They just, you know, as far as personnel goes, again, being there, there were a lot of people replaced with well underqualified personnel, not newspaper people. Again, about the bottom line and the dollar. And so they really weren't equipped to make the decisions. And I'm not sure once the paper was sold from Mr. Warren Buffett to Lee Enterprises, I'm not sure they ever really were interested in keeping it alive, let alone growing it. So you could just add your point today to a long list of bad decisions I witnessed through the years, and it's shameful. Well,
John, I want to bounce something off of you that I kind of get into a little bit before, but you know, basically, what I can identify two major foundational causes, I believe. And again, I have my biases, and I may be right, I may be wrong, but I'm trying to be objective here. Two major causes of the decline of the Buffalo News. This time, I'll say number one. Obviously, the advent of the internet and the changing media landscape, which frankly has affected everybody. Number two, the shifting from an objective paper or an allegedly objective paper to a clearly propagandistic paper, doing away with journalistic objectivity and basically becoming a shill of the Democrat Party. I think those two things were big, but the first one actually could have been arrested. This is the first one, the internet thing, that has been affecting media people and institutions, obviously, for many, many years, all over the place, not just the Buffalo News. But I suggested, John, that the Buffalo News, and this is back when the internet first, you know, started to really take off, I said that the Buffalo News needed to realize that they weren't just a newspaper anymore, that they were a platform. And yeah, they could have a print edition. Yeah, they could have a digital edition, but the technology was there. They could have had a radio station component. And I don't mean an over-the-air radio station component. I mean, they could have put their reporters on, maybe an interviewer with the reporters. They could have had maybe 3-4 hours a day of live interviews, record them, play them over and over in a loop, so you would have had an audio component, and it would need to have been done every day. And also, they could have done a video component. What I'm saying is the Buffalo News could have had basically a podcast, both audio and video, to augment their other coverage. I think it really would have helped. It would have added revenue at very little expense.
Absolutely. I think your two main causes are spot on. The internet, of course, unavoidable. But again, Tom, I got to stress, there was really, like, we're all scratching our head and saying there's no effort being made to adjust, to adapt. There was just none.
That's what That's what I heard.
Yeah, there were several ways to tap into to some new ways to gain interest, and we talked about a couple, but there really was no play on it. If anything, you start seeing, again, if you want to compare it to the corporate world and all that, you start seeing the cutbacks, and said the print size went down, the size of the paper, the you know, everything got reduced. You knew that they were in the pullback mode, and once you get into those retreat modes, as I saw in several other papers, in comparison prior to us, once you get into that mode, there's usually no pulling back from it. And to be honest with you, a lot of these papers did go to partial print weeks, right, well before they even left Buffalo here. So that's really not news to me at all. Pardon the pun.
Very, very well done, sir. You master of language, you. But clearly, again, the media landscape has changed dramatically, but they really didn't do anything to mitigate or to slow down the losses. And frankly, I got to say, the management really sucked. And they also really sucked by being utterly tone deaf to people's legitimate concerns about the lack of objectivity and some very questionable in taste cartoons and some other things along the way. I really thank you for your call, brother. Great talking to you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we'll take more calls on this. I guess I've hit a nerve with you guys, and it's not like it's a new topic, but what's new is from now on, the rumors are true. Beginning in November, no print edition of the Buffalo News on Mondays, and I would have changed things. I would have made sure that every Monday, every resource available was directed at every story published having a connection to the Buffalo Bills. Oh, I would have brought in high school kids as interns and put them in the paper as writers. I don't know about the union rules on that, but maybe it couldn't be done. But basically, you got to hit the Buffalo Bills. You milk the hit. You milk it, and you use that as an attraction to bring people in. Hello. Let's get back to the calls. Talking about the Buffalo News, and I don't relish this. I'm not celebrating. I'm not going to dance on the grave or the sickbed of the paper because I just think that I really do think that's in bad taste, honestly. Here's Bruce on WBEN. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, howdy. Hey, howdy. You struck a nerve with this Buffalo News thing.
Good.
I can tell you specifically, February 2016, I called and canceled my subscription. I loved reading the paper at night when I get home from work, and the sports and the kids' scores and all that stuff. But every article started to get tainted with Trump when Trump got elected.
Yep.
It started out with the soon to be impeached Donald Trump, or the friendly Trump's friendly with Putin and he's withholding $60 billion from Ukraine. And
oh, how about unsubstantiated claims? The president's unsubstantiated claims. The president's claims without evidence. The 2020 election was rigged. They always throw that in there. They never do that. They've never done that for any other politician that I can remember. They never said that about Obama. They never said his unsubstantiated claims without evidence that Obamacare will save people $3,500 a year. They just took it as gospel.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. My friend was paying $35,000 a year of health insurance with $10,000 deductible. Oh, my gosh. You know, he was a businessman, well-to-do, but that Obamacare was a scam.
Honestly, there are some things I actually like about Obamacare, not going to lie. I do like the pre-existing condition guarantee because I'm old and sick.
Oh,
And the fact that kids can stay on the parents' health insurance until they're 26, well, I kind of like that, even though I kind of don't like it. But on balance, I think I like it more than I don't like it. But the fact that people had to pass it to see what was in it, clearly that was an issue.
Well, Trump kept that in there pretty
good. Oh, I know. When you say Obamacare, basically... what I'm saying is there are some elements of Obamacare that even MAGA people don't really mind.
Yeah. Well, I just remember specifically, I never listened to radio, but I was out in the shop working today and I turned it on and you guys were on. And it just struck a nerve. And I go, oh my gosh.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying. The slanted writing, the skewed writing, the overt bias, not in the editorial page, but in what it should be objective news reporting. It was so clear. Right. It was so observable, and it still is. And again, we're a talk radio station, except when we're doing news. We are talk show hosts. We have opinions. We don't have to be objective. As I said earlier, when news breaks, when I'm on the air, I can put on the hat and be totally objective. And frankly, one of the things that I do extremely well is cover breaking news. Tragically, it's usually involving a tragedy. I don't like that part of it, but I know what to do with breaking news. And then I'll be a journalist more than an opinionated guy. But talk radio, opinions, newspaper, and newscast should be objective.
Yeah. Well, they called me like a couple weeks after I quit, and they wanted to offer me, 3 months free subscription or anything. Why did you quit? And I told them, I said, because you guys are tainted. There's no journalism anymore. Everything's the New York Times or the Post. And I go, you guys are awful. And, we want to hear local news and local sports, and the Bills and all that stuff. And
so, well,
you know.
I totally get it. Hey, Bruce, thank you very much, man. I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Well, okay. This brings us to an interesting juncture in the show, Tanner, because I would like to do something else, but I know I've struck a note with this topic we've been doing. Let's see. Does Tanner want to work hard, or I could do both topics in the final half hour of the week. There's an idea. I think that's what we'll do. What topics, Tom? I'll get to that. Just chill. We've got news coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. And again, just so you know, you guys are amazing. These calls have been phenomenal. And I'm very appreciative. I do not ever, ever, ever take you for granted. Just know that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, I'm going to stick with what we've been talking about for right now, but Tanner, don't get too excited that you're going to have an easy half hour because apparently this Buffalo News thing has hit a nerve with people. And thanks to the guy who called in who doesn't usually listen to the radio. I'll take listeners any way I can get them. Accidentally? That's fine. In fact, if you work at a car place, make sure that you always have the AM radio in the car you are selling tuned to News Radio 930 WBEN. And frankly, you'll be doing a service for America. Here's Rick. The Buffalo News, Rick, will not have a print edition on Mondays from now on, beginning in early November. And the big picture is, does the Buffalo News even matter anymore? You're on WBEN.
Well, I'd like to point out a third reason why their revenue is probably way down. And that's the loss of advertising. It used to be you picked up a paper, and page 3 and 4 were A's and A's, and page 6 was a sample, Klein Hands, you name it. We could go down, we could spend the next half hour going down that list.
Oh, do you want to?
Costco doesn't advertise in the paper. You know, Walmart doesn't. BJ's doesn't advertise in the paper. And the other half of that is the want ads. There used to be pages and pages of want ads.
Well, I think BJ's used to advertise on Craigslist, but I'm not sure about that. But let's, Rick, just talk about this for a minute. The categories you have mentioned, absolutely, I mean, you're spot on, because the brick-and-mortar retail stores, including the Buffalo institutions of years ago that you've mentioned, obviously you're not going to advertise a business that isn't around anymore. Another category that has seen a tremendous drop-off in spending in terms of newspapers, automobiles. Because do you remember the times when car dealers typically would take out full-page ads in the Sunday paper, for example?
Yes, full-page ads in the Sunday paper with a whole listing of new and used cars and everything. Yes, that's gone. That's gone.
And
so they didn't keep up with the times. Excuse that metaphor, but or that coincidence, but they didn't keep up with the times.
Well, you know, let me just interrupt you here, and I apologize for I'm not trying to sound rude. Like the economy is always shifting and changing, and I will tell you that in this business, in broadcasting in general, one of the things that I've noticed is that it's the same thing. The automobile dealers are not advertising as much as they used to in the standard conventional media outlets, and they've actually improved their websites dramatically. So if somebody's in the market for a Chevy, you can see every Chevy a dealer has in stock at a certain dealer. You can filter your search by color of car, body style of car. And for the automobile people, it's really not a bad thing for them. They're not spending the money, but they're still getting exposure of their product to select to the people who are actually actively searching for an automobile. And the restaurants also used to be big. They're not that big anymore. And as you well know, if you've ever watched HGTV, I'm pretty sure that every ad on HGTV is about a medical condition of which most of us have never heard.
It's exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right on that. You got that one on. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So,
And well, let's take that little thought just a step further, and I will let you have unfettered access to the air. The floor will be yours, Senator. But the medical category for ads, I'm one of these people, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but it's just a belief. I don't think it's right that the United States and New Zealand are the only countries where drug makers can market directly to consumers. Because someday I got to ask a doctor about how many people actually come in and say, oh, the ad said I should ask my doctor about, and that you might have a drug for me.
Eloquist, yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to name any drugs, sir. That would be a hypothetical example. Well, that's a hypothetical example. I try to keep away from name. Not a big deal. Don't worry about it.
Nice. Okay, well, thanks, Tom. Thank you.
Well, wait, time out. I interrupted you, sir. You had more thoughts you were going to share.
Well, it was a funny thought. Well, we tell our kids that my wife got her job, which lasted 30 years, on the want ad. They look at us like, what? How do you do that? You know, they don't know that world of looking for a 65 Chevelle on the want ads or something like that. You know, it's foreign to them. It's foreign. So I think it was death by a thousand cuts with the Buffalo News. And when you only print stories from the New York Times and the Washington Post, you're going to lose a lot of readers. A lot of readers. You know, how about throwing something in there from the New York Post or something like that? You know, that's apparently wasn't their shtick, and they're going to die with it. So there it goes.
Well, you know what? I that is a great way to put it. And actually, I was thinking the same thing. They chose that hill on which to die.
They doubled
down. They entrenched in a position. They were absolutely tone deaf to legitimate complaints from people who are not Democrats or now left-wing Democrats. And frankly, it would have been so easy. You know, all people want, and I might be wrong, Rick, but let me bounce this off you. In a newspaper, I think that people would be thrilled, both Democrats and Republicans, both troglodyte MAGA people like myself and far left-wing radicals, I think people would be thrilled all over the spectrum if the Buffalo News simply was an objective news source that got stuff correct, that did not skew its writing to make some people look bad and other people look good. If they just would have done the whole Joe Friday drag that, just the facts, ma'am, I think they would not be having as big a problem as they are, and especially if they'd embraced the internet and made the internet work for them, as I suggested they do at the time, and I reiterated what I'd said back then just a few minutes ago, I think it's a totally different landscape.
Yes, and the biggest example of that is their cartoonist, their Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist. Why not have an opposing cartoonist? Like a lot of papers have that. They'll have, I don't know, I name all the quote unquote right leaning cartoonists, but there's a bunch of them out there. Why not have an opposing one, just side by side, like counterpoint used to be on 60 Minutes, you know, something like that.
I don't know if they still do it. USA Today used to do that, too, on the editorial page. They may still do it. But you know what? Yes. Here's the thing. And, you know, I don't think I'm atypical. Now, let me just establish a couple of things. I do believe that the younger demographic for newspapers is extremely small. It's an old person's thing. And let me be very honest, because I want to be fair and balanced. If I were to be honest, and I am, I would say the same thing about AM radio. A lot of younger people have no idea what AM radio happens to be. So we have that in common, okay? People get newspapers when they're older, and I think people discover AM radio these days when they're older. You and I grew up with KB radio and Don Dusias on WGR and Buhlman here on this radio station, and these days kids are not growing up. They're not getting into the funnel and graduating to adulthood as AM listeners, and the same thing with newspapers.
Agreed,
So I think there are ways around that. I do think there are ways to address that. I'm not going to lie. That could actually work very, very well.
Yeah, agreed, Tom. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being patient when I interrupted you, and I'm glad that I kept you around because you made an excellent point.
Well,
you know what? Yeah, Rick, you know what? It is my show, and sometimes I do use that card. If somebody comes into my living room and breaks wind, I will use that card. But you were not an example of me having to use that card. I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. 803-0930. I've got time to talk to you about the Buffalo News. And do you think we're even going to have a Buffalo News within 10 years or maybe 10 years? How long a lifespan do you think it has? And honestly, to use kind of a medical analogy, if I may, I kind of look right now at the, well, I do look at the Buffalo News as being in very critical condition, possibly in a persistent vegetative state with no chance of recovery or very little chance of recovery. I don't think it's going to have a life much longer. And do I enjoy saying those things? Honestly, absolutely not. I really don't. And off air, you think I'm going to get off the air and I'm going to run around thinking, yeah, the Buffalo News, man, they suck. No, not at all. Because you know what? I don't think it's cool to celebrate anybody else's misery in losing a job or losing an institution, even if the institution may not like me very much. I'm not going to celebrate whatever happens. But you think about everything, it's just been a continuing spiral of bad decisions, bad posturing, smaller newspapers, and the credibility of the newspaper. Look, when you are an objective paper, you know, objective, not slanted, fair to everybody, equally critical of everybody, you're supposed to be objective. When you lose that, you cease to become a real newspaper. And when I say the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, honestly, I'm not trying to be inflammatory. I really do believe that. If you were to pick up the Buffalo News just any day, any year, let's say July 20th of 1974, and you were to read the articles and the editorials, you would be amazed at how much better it was, how much more professional it was. But it really, in my opinion, went downhill just as an objective news source at some point in the 1990s. That's my take on it. And I think it could have been so reversible. I really do. But now it's like the infection has metastasized. It's all over the body of the newspaper, and I'm not sure it can be excised or removed or held back. I think the death of the Buffalo News is inevitable. And I take no joy from coming to that conclusion either. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And the reason we're talking about this is the Buffalo News, beginning in early November, will no longer have a Monday print edition. And I would switch things up with the paper. I would have total Bills coverage on Monday, and I'd marshal everybody I had on staff to do it. I would be the go-to place for Bills information. And I don't know why they're not going to do that. That's like a no-brainer. I'm sorry. Here's Jeff. Jeff, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Hey, Tom. So, yeah, my issue is, you know, I stopped getting the paper a long time ago. My father gets it every day. He gets both papers. So he'll cut out articles or tell me to, you know, whatever, look at that or the Times or whatever paper he gets. But I hate when I go online and I'm scrolling and that says, oh, look at this article. And I go to hit it. And then won't let me open it. It's that, you know, because you got to pay for the subscription online in order to get it. So right. I'm like, all right, well, I just never click anything that says Buffalo News anymore. So I won't even open it. But I open up other papers because they allow me to look at it. And then there's ads in there, you know, and the ads go on. And I guess I get paid through the ads. But if I can't even see the article, and half the time they're misleading article, you know, the leads are, or the, you know, the lead you mean, on it is wrong.
You mean
anyway.
it seems like clickbait to you? But let me just understand, right. Jeff. Did you say that you subscribe to the paper or you used to? What is your status with the paper right now?
Nothing.
Ah, okay.
I don't order the paper at all. I'm done. You know, I'm 50. Sorry.
I got distracted.
Order the paper anymore.
Jeff, I got distracted. Yeah. I think
my
I've got ADHD. Well, let me just explain, Jeff. Look, as you know, a lot of places have paywalls, and you know why they do it, because the mantra is, why should we give something away for free when other people are paying for it?
Yeah, but people at least are interested in looking at what you have to say, then they might actually buy it. But if you're never going to look at it and never see the articles and never do it, I just figure it's like musicians. Some make you pay for everything online, and some give it away. You know, the one. So it just depends on your, you know,
Jeff,
are you worried about
only
getting popular?
Jeff, only a musician would say that, because, you know, as a musician, I'm quite sure, you don't get paid to play. You get paid to set up and tear down.
my friend that helped him many times, Brody, you know, setting up, helping him set up just to get in the venue.
And then you get idiots like me who have to be the sound guy in the room, but I am quite good with sound, so nobody seems to mind that very much. When you said musician, I was like, yeah, all right. But look, I understand your frustration with articles like that, and it's funny because I was just having this conversation last night. My pet peeve in life when it comes to computer stuff is these damned pop-up ads. They drive me crazy. Oh, yeah. Drive me nuts.
Yeah, as soon as that happens, I click off and I won't even open anymore. I'm like, nope, you lost me, and I just get out of it. So I just move on to something else. I don't have time to do that. So as soon as it's like even the local news channels, you go on their thing and you click it to see what the story's about, and you scroll through it and the stuff's popping up constantly. I'm like, all right, I'm out. I just get out of it.
Dude, I don't even care what the article says. Look, I know that there are certain pop-up blockers out there. However, if you put those on, you may be denied access. So it's like a never-ending offensive and defensive game plan to absorb information on the internet. Hey, I'm glad you called, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Great calls this week. I never did get to the mailing it in on a Friday topic. I actually worked today. Holy crap. Anyway, 5:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN. You call that work? Shh. Do not reveal the scam. Yes, of course I call this work. You have any idea? I must put 16 hours a day into this minimum. That's on a Saturday. Okay, yeah, poop blizzard's getting kind of deep, kind of early here. Sorry about that. So anyway, thank you very much for all the calls this week and for all of your interest this week. And I certainly hope a couple of things stick in your mind from this week. Number one, that you need AM radio in your car. You should be turning on the young people in your life to AM radio because, I tell you, the FM people, they weren't covering the traffic nightmare the past few days. We were extensively. So you need AM radio, and you got to tell the kids in your life that AM radio and News Radio 930 WBEN, we're the cool station. We're the place to be. Yeah. So tell them that. The other thing that is a takeaway from this week, the next time you saw what happened. The next time these jackass politicians talk about doing away with the Skajakwita or the Kensington, let's fill it in. I want you to think back to what you experienced on the surface streets when you exited either of those roads. That was fun. You want that every day? I don't think so. Just a thought. Just a thought. But again, thanks a lot. And thanks to Tanner Saunders. Phenomenal job. Tanner is great. And I will listen for you on Monday between 3 and 6 after Joe Beamer, who follows David Bellavia, the great David Bellavia. Oh, one more takeaway from this week. The crypto market is seeing a bit of an October rally. That's usual.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.